Hello and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of me when I get older? How do we plan for the future? How do we pay for all of this? The amounts are staggering. How do we pay the hundreds of thousands of dollars that it takes to take care of someone? What do we do when we can't live up to the promise? We never should have made the promise that don't worry, mom, don't worry, dad, don't worry, honey, I'll never let this happen to you. How do we deal with all of that stuff when the time comes? That's what this show is and has been dedicated to, is about, and has been dedicated to for 19 years right here on KFBK, and what I've been doing now for almost 30. And God willing, the creek don't rise, I'm going to keep doing it for some more. Because I love what I do, I believe in what I do, and I think it's important. Somebody has to speak about things that are uncomfortable and things we don't like to talk about. And I'm going to keep trying to do that as much as I can. Again, welcome to Assets and Aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license that allows me to prepare legal documents at your request in California. And I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be, and everything we talk about here should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or other advice, financial advice, any kind. It's my opinion only. Don't forget, I have a workshop coming up. Write this down, please. On Saturday, November the 4th, right here in Sacramento, I have a workshop coming up at the Crown Plaza Hotel, Madison and 80. It's free. And we're going to be talking about, in detail, the real truth about what happens when we're facing frailty and long-term care and it's happening to our loved one. How are we going to deal with all of this? I know you think about it, I know you talk about it, but I'm going to tell you a little story, a hospice story in a minute. But nobody wants to talk about it. Well, at the workshop, I'm going to try to get you to at least think about it, even if you don't want to talk about it. So that's coming up on the 4th of November, Saturday the 4th, at 10 a.m. at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. You can make reservations one of two ways. Yeah, I like reservations because then I know how much material to bring. You can call my local Sacramento number, 916-973-0916. 916-973-0916. And just leave me a message with your name and phone number. I'll call you back. And I'll put some tickets in the mail to you, and you'll be ready to go. You can also, again, if you're out of the area, you can call my toll-free number, which is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. And you can go there, and you can call me, and you can get... leave me a message and I'll call you back. Make sure you include your phone number and I'll get you some tickets. Or you can go to my website. My website is assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, aging.com, assetsandaging.com. And you can scroll down and you can sign up by email and I will get you a copy. I will email you some tickets. So two ways to do this. Calling me, 916-973-0916, or going to my website, assetsandaging.com. If you've never been to one of my workshops, it's unique. Because I'm going to talk about what really happens when we have to deal with the very difficult situations we find ourselves confronted with when we're dealing with a loved one who's frail, who has dementia, who's sick, who can't take care of themselves. What do we do when we have to break our promise? What do you mean, Bob? Well, we promised Mom we'd never let this happen to her. We promised our husband, my wife, we'd never let this happen. And all of a sudden, it happened. Mom got dementia, Grandma got dementia, whoever it was, became frail, became ill, and all of a sudden we have to break our promise and we have to get them home care, or they have to go to assisted living, or they wind up in a nursing home, and we're dealing with the disaster that all of that is. Get to the workshop. I know you've been to other workshops. Everybody's been to workshops. I hate that I have to do workshops in one sense, because I should just be able to talk about it here and people should be wise enough to say, yeah, I got to take care of that. But that's not what happens. And again, I'm going to tell you a little story about something that happened this week. Get to my workshop Saturday, November the 4th. It's free. Call my number here in Sacramento, 916-973-0916, or if you're outside the area, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up there. You can also buy my book. If you don't have my book, Navigating Frailty, you should buy it. It's a good book. I'm proud of it. You're going to hear all kinds of baloney out there, folks. You're going to hear all kinds of stuff. You're going to hear stuff you can't believe and you trust. What you're going to learn after an hour and 15 minutes at my workshop is how this really works, what the truth is about Medi-Cal and veterans benefits and long-term care, and the reality of the cost. Do you have any idea how much dementia costs? The cost of taking care of someone with dementia or frailty or Alzheimer's or whatever, unless you've paid them, you can't imagine the cost, both financially, physically, and emotionally. And we're going to talk about that at the workshop. So make the decision, get the family together, and get there. This is all about families. I do what I do because when I started doing this 30 years ago, it was about having some clients who wound up going to nursing homes and trying to get information about Medi-Cal and trying to find out the truth was impossible. Nobody would talk about it. 25 years ago, there was only one Medi-Cal manual per county. Most workers never saw a Medi-Cal manual. I didn't know. Nobody knew. And it was all built out of a frustration of watching people lose everything because information was not available. And I've dedicated 25 years, 30 years, whatever it's been, to making sure that families now can at least get the information they need. The key is getting people to act on it. I had someone come to my office the other day whose spouse has Parkinson's. And she said to me, you know, we're hoping for the best, but planning for the worst. And I said to her, but you're really not, because you can't even imagine how bad it's going to get. You can't even imagine what the worst is, because the worst is so much worse than most of us want to admit when this happens, that we can't even comprehend it until it happens. You can't imagine what it's like unless you've done it. And if you have done it, sometimes I wish this show was still live, and this is one of them. Because I used to love it when people would call in and say, you know, I'm going through what you're talking about right now, and people cannot imagine how hard it is to take care of someone who's frail or demented or whatever. I have a good friend. Sometimes, folks, you just have to laugh. I have a good friend who was telling me a story today. His mom is in a memory care unit, and the other day she fell and cut her arm. So his brother, took her to the emergency room. And they can't stitch her skin because older people, they can't put stitches in. So they just kind of pull the skin back up and clean it up and bandage it and let it heal. And when he took her back to the memory care unit, she said, "I've had the nicest day. Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful day." Because she didn't remember where they had been or what they had done or what happened to her. It's harder than anything you've ever done. I was talking to someone today who works for a hospice company. And let me tell you what. Hospice is the most misunderstood thing out there. I wish people understood hospice better. It's not what you think it is. You think it's for people who are terminally ill and are all going to die within 6 months. That's not what hospice is. And I'm trying to get somebody to come on. I'm trying to talk somebody into coming on from a hospice company and describing hospice to you, because it's better than you can imagine it to be. Those of you that have had hospice for a loved one, you know what I'm talking about. I have great admiration for people who work in hospice. But when I was talking to this person today, we were talking, and she said something to me that was really important. And we talked about it for a long time, because she's heard my radio program, she's been to my workshop. And she said something that I thought was important. And what she said was, we get people in two different ways. One group of people, the smaller group of the two, has planned for this. They knew that their loved one was ill and frail and they were headed toward death. And as a family, everything I talk about here has to do with families. As a family, they were concerned and planned for it and were ready to go. She said, but the larger group of people are operating in crisis mode because they're dealing with stuff that they never believed was going to happen, ignored what was happening, chose to not plan for it, chose to not deal with it, chose to put their heads in the sand, chose to pretend, kept promising people, don't worry, I'll never put you in one of those, I'll never allow you to die, I'll never allow this to happen. And she said, that's the greater group that we deal with. And I said, that's what I've been preaching here and what I do for almost 30 years now, is that most of the people I get are in crisis. And the problem with crisis is that we don't make wise decisions. And so people often elect not to do anything. They don't even deal with hospice. They refuse to deal with stuff. They refuse to admit what's happening to their mom or their dad or their loved one. And sometimes they wind up, as a result of that, making bad decisions. I am dedicated. And if you're one of those people who, in your family, you really care about this, then you're the kind of person that should be talking to me, and I'm the kind of person that should be talking to you. I want to deal with families who are concerned about this. I want to deal with sons and daughters who are concerned about this. I recently had to deal with a family where one of the parents died. And you know what? While that family was dying, not one of the children. They were interested in the money. They were really interested in the money after the person died. But before the person died, not one of the children came to visit. Not one. Three children, not one. Not one wanted to be involved. They were very interested in what money was there and what stuff was in the house and all of that kind of stuff, but not really interested in the messy part. I've referred to it for years as, when you're dealing with someone who's frail or older, you have to deal with icky stuff. That's a scientific word, folks, icky. You all know icky. We have to deal with icky stuff. Now, I'm not just talking about the physiological stuff where, you know, people are very sick and their bodily functions are not controllable, and all of that. I'm talking about the icky stuff of that goes on in families, and the icky stuff that goes on with finances and trying to pay the bills and trying to figure out what level of care mom needs and trying to figure out the icky stuff of why my sister or brother in Pennsylvania doesn't understand what's going on here that I'm dealing with. The icky stuff. I can always tell those families who are willing to deal with the icky stuff. And I can also tell those families very quickly that just don't, you know, they'll be there when the money's doled out and when the praise is doled out, but they don't want to be there for the icky stuff. If you're one of the families that's willing to deal with that, and you're dealing with an aging loved one, could be a parent or a grandparent, it could be your friend, could be somebody you care about, then you're the person I'm looking for. You're the person that I want coming to the workshop. You're the person that I want to deal with. I want to deal with families that are willing to confront all this icky stuff up front. Some of you have had, you know, you're either going through it now or you've gone through it before. How did you as a family respond to it? Were you willing to confront what was really happening? Or did everyone just want to pretend that, nah, you know, dad isn't really losing it. Dad's just got a little memory loss. Which one are you? Because the families that deal with this the best, without a doubt, are the families who are all in the harness pulling the same way. And they know the wagon's heavy, and they know the load is heavy, and they know they have to deal with icky stuff, and they also know that tag, they're it. If you're that family, then you should be coming in to see me. You should be coming to my workshop. You should begin the process of dealing with this. How many of you have ever been in a nursing home? Raise your hands. If you're driving, don't raise your hand. I can't see you, but if you're like every group I've ever spoken to, 99% of you are now raising your hands. How many of you have been in a nursing home? Most of you are raising your hands. When you walk into a nursing home, how do you feel? Do you feel upbeat? Do you feel happy? Or do you feel apprehensive? Do you feel sad? Everybody feels sad. Everybody feels consternation. Everybody feels pain when they're having to deal with this. The families that deal with all of this, despite that, are the families who grow together and work this through and are better for it as a family when it's over, because they know they've been pulling together and going in the same way, with the focus being on the person that's ill and making sure that we've provided the best care possible to them that we can. And that's not always you're not always capable of providing the best care for that loved one. It might be a facility, it might be a professional caregiver, it might be whatever. None of us is looking forward to becoming old and frail. No, I'm not. Are you? I'm not. If you're one of those people that just says, well, that's not going to happen to me, I'm just going to fall asleep one night and not wake up, then I can't help you. Because let me tell you how many people that doesn't happen to. Most. Most people don't just go to sleep one night and not wake up. Most people die in a facility, in a nursing home, in assisted living, at home with a caregiver, and they're usually ill for some period of time before that. If you're a family that cares about that, I want you to join me in helping families. And I want you to start by helping yours, in identifying the person in your family that is having icky stuff happen to them. Whether it's physiological, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional. Are you as a family working together to help deal with what's coming? Because what's coming, in most cases, is going to be really icky. I remember talking to someone with a disease once. I'm not going to tell you the disease. It doesn't matter. But it's really bad. You don't want it. And the reality was that this person was probably going to face the reality someday of having to have a ventilator or a trach tube and probably a feeding tube. That's what they were facing as the end result of the disease they had. And I asked them if they talked about that with their family. And they were upset that I would bring it up. And I said, you have to talk about this as a family. You have to talk about the reality of what's coming. You have to be willing to admit that all of us at the end of life are going to die, and a lot of us are going to be quite frail and quite ill before it happens. If you're one of those families that's willing to talk about hard stuff, then I want to talk to you because I can help. I can't make the icky stuff go away, but I can make sure you don't lose everything. I can make sure you never lose your house. I can make sure you keep what you worked a lifetime for. I can make sure that you have the help you need. I can make sure that you've picked the right decision makers and given them the authority they need to deal with the icky stuff. And if I can't, I know people who can. Because after doing this for 25, 30 years, I found out those people that really care about this and those people who, who don't care so much. Which camp are you in? If you're a son or a daughter listening to me, are you willing to deal with the icky stuff that's going to come into your parents' life? Parents, for crying out loud, you raised your children to be responsible. You raised them to be honorable. You raised them to be loyal. Don't be afraid to depend upon them and lean on them. That's what you raised them well for. Children, don't be afraid to talk to your parents about this stuff. They need for you to talk to them about this stuff. You don't want to be one of the families that's in crisis making decisions, not because they're the best decisions, but because they're the only decision or the only option you had as the crisis unfolded in your life or your family's life. Call me today. Get in to see me. If you're one of those families, call me today. Get in to see me. 800-999-8007. 916-973-0916. 973-0916. Email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. bob@assetsandaging.com. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up for my workshop there on November the 4th. It's free. Or call me November the 4th, 10 a.m., Crown Plaza, Madison and 80, right here in Sacramento. You can make all the difference in the world for your family. All the difference in the world for your family. Your choice. If you're ready to begin as a family to start to deal with the icky stuff, then you've come to the right place. If you just are not ready and you can't deal with it and all your family really cares about is the money, then I can't help you. 800-999-8007, 973-0916, right here in Sacramento. Saturday, November the 4th, Holiday Inn, Crown Plaza Hotel, Madison and 80, right here in Sacramento. 10 o'clock, it's free, but you need a reservation. Call me, go to my website, assetsandaging.com, or call me at 916-973-0916 or 800-999-8007 if you're out of the area. But do something. Don't be that family that's operating poorly in a crisis. Be that family that's in the harness pulling together in the right direction when the crisis happens. I'll be back in just a few minutes with the second half of the show. We're going to talk about some different stuff. We're going to talk about vets. We're going to talk about long-term care insurance, some interesting stuff going on there. So stick around. Don't go away. Much more to learn right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. 916-973-0916. Be back in just a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to have you with us. Remember, everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, financial, or tax advice. Glad to have you with us. Got some more stuff to talk about. Going to talk about the VA stuff and regarding mustard gas, but I want to talk about it in the larger context of the VA. I want to read from another article, entitled, Americans Are Retiring Later, Dying Sooner, and Sicker in Between. I want to talk about that a little bit. Then I want to talk about an interesting article on long-term care insurance. It's about GE, Genworth, and long-term care. I think it's an interesting article in general, and I think it's important to hear. My podcast last week was on does long-term care insurance always help, and the answer was maybe. So we'll talk about that again. If you haven't listened to my podcast every Wednesday live, I want to talk about an article first that I read today. It's a newspaper article, and I just want to read a couple things out of it, and I want to highlight in my own words a couple things out of it. One is, when people come in and talk to me, quite often they'll say, well, you know, I want to have an advanced health care directive so that if I get sick, somebody can pull the plug. And I tell people all the time, it's almost never about pulling the plug. And so I want you to hear what I'm saying, and I want you to think of this in a different way than you're used to. Most people, when they, and I can do advanced health care directives, I'm at your request, I'm licensed to do them, but this is not a legal opinion. It's a personal observation. Most people want to talk about pulling the plug. It's almost never about pulling the plug. What it's really about is never plugging the plug in. It's about quality of life. It's about who can make decisions for me that don't involve plugging the plug in. Who can make decisions about pain medication, about palliative care, about quality of life, about end of life, about who can make decisions about all the stuff that comes before we plug in the plug. Documents really need to address that issue. It sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but I'm not. I can't tell you. I'm trying to think. I can't even think of three cases in all the years that I've been doing this where we're unplugging a ventilator, or we're, you know, doing that, you know, withdrawing feeding tubes. Or yes, it's done, but it's almost never about that. I'll use my own mom for an example. When my mom was dying, we never made the decision to unplug anything because we never plugged anything in. And we had the authority to do that. We had the authority to say, no, we don't want a ventilator. No, we don't want a feeding tube. No, we don't want heroic measures. Do you know if your documents include that? Or are you thinking of your documents just in terms of, well, when I'm dead or when it's hopeless, they can unplug the machine? It's not about that. It's about pain meds. It's about antipsychotics. It's about all kinds of things that happen to us before we're ever plugged in. And I want you to think about your documents that you have in a new way. Do they allow someone to deal with all of that stuff? Well, you're in unconscious. You're laying in the bed unconscious. You know, when I had my knees replaced, I had a drug interaction, and I hallucinated for 2 days. I don't remember any of it. I understand I had a really good time, but I don't remember any of it. There was no machine to unplug. But lots of decisions had to be made during those 2 days about what was going on and that was going to happen. And I didn't make any of them. I wasn't making any of them. The other mistake that people make along with this is what I was just talking about. They assume, well, I'll make those decisions. No, in most cases, it's somebody else. Do your kids know what your wishes are? Do they know what your end-of-life wishes are? Do they know whether you want to be cremated, or do you want to be buried, or do you want to be in a coffin, or do you want to be, what do you want? Where do you want to be? People say to me all the time, well, I'm going to be buried at the Veterans Cemetery in Dixon. Okay, how are you going to get there? They're not going to put you in the back of the station wagon and they take you out there. Who's going to be able to do that? Who? You're not comatose. You're not conscious. You're unconscious. You're under sedation. Who's going to make those decisions for you that you're not going to make? You're not going to be able to make them. Have you communicated those to the people you love? That's so much why I love families when they all come in together. And mom and dad there, the kids are there, and we're talking about all this stuff. Because they have to know. Spouses have to know. I've had spouses sit at my table talking about this stuff, and they're shocked to find out that the other one wants to be cremated. I didn't know you wanted it. That's what you, or that, or vice versa, whatever it is. It's not about pulling the plug. It's about families knowing how to deal with frailty and end-of-life issues and icky issues, as I talked about in the first half hour. Who's going to be able to do that? Who's going to be able to choose your diet? Who's going to be able to choose your doctor? You know, I see, and again, this is not a legal opinion, it's an observation. I see advanced healthcare directives all the time that say they only go into effect when my primary physician says that I'm goofy, I'm incompetent. Well, who's your primary physician? Well, Dr. Schmidlap over here is, well, okay, you've had a heart attack and the ambulance took you to Mercy. I'm just picking, who's your doctor now? Dr. Schmidlap's not there. What does that mean when my primary physician determines that I'm unable to make my own decisions? How do we know that? How do we know what that means? How do we decide that? And then who's in charge when that's decided? It's why almost every elder law attorney I know prefers what are called immediate powers of attorney, which means when you sign it, your spouse or your child or whatever can make medical decisions for you. Because sometimes we're making decisions in an emergency. Again, to use my mom as an example, which I've done before, when I walked into the hospital, I knew that I had complete say and control. I didn't need any letters from anybody. I could make the decisions that were best for her. And by the way, I knew what she wanted. It's not about unplugging the plug. It's about never plugging the plug in. We'll talk about this more at my workshop coming up on the 4th. Again, if you haven't signed up for it, why? If you haven't started taking this seriously, why? Do you think you're going to be the one person that's going to escape this? I know everybody thinks they're going to die in their sleep. That's not what happens, folks. I want to comment on something else that I touched on, what used to be considered a nice nest egg, my little house, a little money in the bank, was generally enough to pay for care. It's not anymore. Long-term care can easily cost $100,000 a year or more. I currently have people in memory care units that are spending $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 a month on a memory care unit. I have people receiving home care who are easily spending over $15,000 a month on round-the-clock home care. Not a year, folks, a month. So that little nest egg that used to be what was standing between us and being destitute, it probably isn't enough in most cases anymore. It's just not enough. I don't know what to tell you. It's not enough. So what's your answer going to be? It's like, well, I unplug the plug. That's great, but it's not about unplugging the plug. It's about never plugging it in. How are you going to deal financially with the huge costs, which people can't imagine until they have to do it, of care? And care that can go on for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years? Oh, Bob, you're making this up. No, I'm not. I know people that have been on home care for over 10 years. I know people that have gone through $750,000 paying for care. I know lots of people who have gone through more than $250,000 paying for care. As a family, are you concerned about that? I have someone right now that I know very well that is paying $13,000 a month for his mom and dad in assisted living because they can't afford it and the son is paying the bill. $13,000 a month, and it's about to break him. This is all real stuff. It's icky stuff. It's all about what's happening in families all over the United States, all over California, all over Sacramento, in Elk Grove, in Roseville, in Sun City, everywhere. And you can go to all the seminars you want to and learn how to buy a product or learn how to do whatever. But until you as a family are ready to begin to deal with this, the odds are you'll just go from seminar to seminar to seminar to seminar until you can't do it anymore, until it finally catches up with you and now you're dealing in a crisis. I just thought those two points were important to make. I want to bring up a veteran's story. This is from the Hannibal, Missouri. I'm not making this up. The Hannibal Courier Post. I wasn't even familiar with this until I read it today. The president just signed a bill by Senator Claire McCaskill that covers veterans who were exposed to mustard gas in World War II. You didn't know that, did you? You thought mustard gas was World War I. Well, they used to purposefully, I didn't know this. I know a lot of stuff about VA. I didn't know this. But a veteran by the name of, where's his name? Arla Harrell, 90 years old, Missouri veteran, who was intentionally exposed to mustard gas during World War II. Evidently, there was a training ground, Camp Crowder, where full-body testing of mustard gas on American soldiers went on during World War II. 60,000 servicemen, I had no idea, folks, were exposed as human subjects to the military's Chemical Defense Research Program, 4,000 of them receiving high levels of exposure to mustard agents, which I believe is chlorine gas. Did you know? I didn't know that. Well, the president just signed a bill that now includes that is a presumptive 100% service-connected disability. Now, here's the bad part. I think that's wonderful that this happened. And kudos to Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, who got this bill passed. Arla Harrell has been fighting this decision for decades because the VA denied him benefits for decades. I wish I could tell you I'm surprised, but almost every disease on the Agent Orange list, the VA has fought and fought and fought and fought. And has taken veterans and veterans groups years. I didn't even know there were servicemen exposed to mustard gas during World War II on purpose. I know there were servicemen exposed to above ground radiation on purpose, because we lit off a bunch of bombs and we used to line up soldiers and everybody goes, well, let's see what happens. If you were a vet that was exposed to above ground radiation, there's a benefit for you. But I didn't know about the mustard gas. I'm only bringing it up because if you know anybody, this guy's 90 years old, so they're going to be older, folks. They're World War II. That was exposed to mustard gas or any kind of chemical defense research program during World War II, you should go contact your local veteran service officer and ask him about it, because I had never, ever heard about this benefit. Ever. Didn't even know that it existed. Did not even know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. So what can I tell you? If you're a vet, you shouldn't be surprised, because the VA has fought veterans, and it's only going to get worse as the desert people, all the desert warfare stuff, as those people start becoming more and more frail and older and subject to diseases. Here's a guy, we all know how, you know, we've seen the World War I movies. We saw the movie Sergeant York and all Quiet on the Western Front and all that stuff. We know about mustard gas, but I never knew it was used during World War II on American soldiers who were guinea pigs. And that the VA finally, after a senator and the president signed a bill, finally got, how many guys died from the effects of mustard gas that never got the benefits, the disability benefits to which they were entitled? I find it atrocious. Is it any wonder that the VA now takes on average of 6 months to a year to approve disability benefits for a veteran, if they do it at all? Okay, next subject I want to talk about. What time is it here? How much time do I have? Oh, I got some time. Long-term care insurance. Let's talk about long-term care insurance. And what piqued my interest was this. I'm not going to get to the other article. Sorry about that. This was in the Wall Street Journal. This was on October 23rd, not very long ago, a few days ago. An article written by Leslie Schism, or Schism, S-C-I-S-M, in the Wall Street Journal. And the title of the article is General Electric Has a Long-Term Care Problem. It Isn't Alone. This is a problem in the long-term care industry. And that is companies sorely underestimated morbidity tables, that is, the number of people who are going to need the policies, and they sorely underestimated rates of return. I mean, they seriously, remember, you know, interest rates that used to be 8, 10, 12%? Well, and they underestimated all of that. And so a lot of long-term care insurance companies, not just GE, I'm not picking on GE, I'm not telling you anything except you ought to go do a little research, have problems with their reserves. By the mid-2000s, many insurers were rapidly ratcheting back the benefits, concluding they had badly miscalculated how many people would file claims and how long they would draw benefits. Those of you that have policies with PERS, long-term care, already know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because how many times have your rates gone up? Because in long-term care companies sorely underestimated the rate of return they were going to get and sorely estimated how long people would live, how many people would actually still have their policies, how many people would lapse their policies, and there's a huge problem. The other problem with long-term care insurance, I like it, by the way. I think you should go buy it if you're in your 50s. But you should understand what you're buying, and you should only buy it from an expert. I don't sell it. Who's been doing it at least 5 years. I know somebody if you want to name. is that people have a long-term care policy, and when they took it out, I'm going to make up some numbers. They had a long-term care policy that now pays, you know, it's up to $200 a day. They bought it, it was $100 a day. Now, because they had an inflation rider, well, $200 a day is $6,000 a month. How much is a nursing home? $9,000, $10,000 a month? You're going to come up short. And a lot of long-term care policies pay a lesser benefit, usually only about half, for home care. So that policy that pays $6,000 for long-term care only pays $3,000 for in-home care. So it's not unusual for people to wind up with shortfalls when it comes time to use the long-term care insurance. I'm not telling you it's bad or good or whatever, but you need to know what your policy will pay for. A lot of policies pay for 2 or 3 years. Well, what if you need care for 6 years? Now who pays? The long-term care policy isn't paying anymore because you used up 2 years of benefits. I have some people right now that they've used up all their benefits. The person is still in a nursing home looking at a $9,000 a month nursing home bill. So I'm not telling you do or do not buy long-term care insurance. What I'm telling you is make sure you understand and that your family understands exactly what it's going to pay for. Just because you have one doesn't mean it's going to pay the whole bill. Here's the other thing you have to look for. Lots of people, because of the cost, one spouse had better health than the other. So they would buy a policy on the well spouse, the better, the healthier one, but they couldn't afford a policy on the ill spouse, so the ill spouse doesn't have a policy. I see that a lot, where only one of the husband or wife, not both, have a long-term care policy. Be careful when you're buying a long-term care policy. There's all kinds of hybrids now. There's some really interesting life insurance policies in which you can use the death benefit to help pay for long-term care. There are some interesting annuities that have income options. There's other stuff. Not telling you to go do anything. I'm just saying when it comes to long-term care insurance, make sure you understand your policy. Make sure you understand whether premiums are going to go up. Make sure your agent is staying on top of the company you're insured with. Make sure you've read the contract. Make sure your kids know where the contract is. Kids, make sure you know whether your mom and dad have one and how it works. It's another one of those things that people just take for granted, and then in the crisis, they go to use their long-term care policy, and they find out it's not going to cover what they thought it was going to cover because they've had it for 10 years, and the policies have not kept at pace with the cost of care. And one last thing, I think I can get this in. The U.S. retirement, and this is from an article called Americans Are Retiring Later, Dying Sooner, and Sicker in Between. This is from Bloomberg. And this is dated October 23rd also. Okay? The U.S. retirement age is rising, but lifespans aren't necessarily extending to offer equal time on the beach. Here are the stats, blah, 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 blah. At the same time that Americans' life expectancy is stalling, public policy and career tracks mean millions of U.S. workers are waiting longer to call it quits. The age at which people can claim, but here's the big part. Postponing retirement can make financial sense because extended careers can make it possible to afford retirements at least past age 90. But a study out this month adds some caution to that calculation. This is what I want to get to. Americans in their late 50s already have more serious health problems than people at the same ages did 10 to 15 years ago. You're going to live longer and you're going to be sicker, is the point of this article. At the current retirement age of 66, a quarter of Americans aged 58 to 60 rated themselves in poor to fair health, not in good health. For those of retirement age of 66, 11% already have some kind of dementia or cognitive defect. Did you hear that? 11% of people age 66 already have dementia. The point is, we're going to live longer, we're going to be sicker, we're going to deal with more icky stuff, and we're going to have to pay costs that we can't imagine. If this is important to you, if it's important to your family, then come and join me this coming Saturday at the 4th of November at 10 o'clock at the Crown Plaza, Madison and 80, right here in Sacramento. Make a difference in your family's life. Come and begin to figure out how you're going to deal with all of this as a family. Call my number in Sacramento, 916-973-0916. If you're outside the area, you can call 800-999-8007. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, and sign up. But get to the workshop. It's free. But don't be that person caught in a crisis and operating, making bad decisions because they never thought it was going to happen to them. 916-973-0916. You can make a difference in your life. You can plan for this. You can do it as a family. And if you're ready to do that, I'm ready to see you. So call, set up an appointment, get in to see me, or at the very least, get to my workshop on Saturday, November the 4th. 916-973-0916, 973-0916. Well, thank you for joining me. I look forward to seeing you at the workshop. Have a great day, and we'll see you here next week on Assets and Aging. Bye-bye.